Welcome to Expounded Universe, Season 6, Episode 13, Moonstruck. The book, Vector Prime, by R.A. Salvatore. The year, 2000. Chapters 25 and 26, with your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go!
So you're saying that Luke Skywalker is extorting the New Republic. Also, the fact that they named it with her last name and the name, that's tacky.
Oh. I shitted and farted and came.
Welcome back to Expounded Universe, the Star Wars Expanded Universe novel discussion podcast. John, how are you?
Great.
I did all the things.
Everything's been wrapped up nicely. Let's go on home.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. I've been Elan Sleazebagiano.
And this was a very short death stick.
I fished this one out of the ashtray.
I got a roach of a death stick.
Hey, man, you holding? You holding death sticks?
Always holding death sticks.
Is holding Caulfield sticks here?
Holding sticks field?
Yeah, holding sticks field.
Well, I guess I know who my new character is.
Wait, do you need to make a new character for something?
I don't know.
I mean, you're always needing to make characters.
I'm always needing to make characters, Holden Sticksfield is coming out to play.
It's good to hear. So this is the final countdown, the last couple of chapters of Vector Prime before we move on to different pastures. And also, because the grand total of our reading this week was 8 pages.
Yeah, if that.
With wide margins and a chapter.
Double spacing.
Double spacing, a chapter break. The repeated uses of the word very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In summation.
I don't know if you were sad.
Vector Prime is a land of contrasts.
Han was very, 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 very sad about Chewbacca having very, very, very died.
You know, Webster's Dictionary defines death.
And I hope you enjoyed reading Vector Prime as much as we enjoyed talking about it.
It's basically just 8 pages of some wrap-up. So The first chapter is just let's check in with all the various characters and see what's going on.
Yeah. By the way, John, we missed the opportunity just then to do a bunch of, like, stand-up applause lines on a podcast for no reason. Just easy applause lines. Hey, local sports team is the best, am I right?
Eh?
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 Women, be shopping. How many people are y'all married tonight?
Eh?
This doesn't work. Why doesn't this work?
Oh, yeah. No one's here.
I hate this bit.
It's just us.
I don't think no one's
clapping at anything.
I can already tell it's not working at home either.
Oh, I know.
It's killing.
I can tell that is falling flatter than this soda.
I can hear them not laughing.
Their silence is deafening.
Yeah. It haunts me in the future. Okay, so only 8 chapters of work to get through today. 8 big, long chapters. Thick and uncut.
Man. So, you can't see it because obviously you're just listening to a podcast, but there was a moment where I reached over to go grab the book, and Jeff reached over and grabbed his shoe.
My book was behind my shoe. I have the book
We both reach over to the same place. I grab a book and he's like, ooh, Converse. I'm going to play with this.
In my defense, they are very cool Converse.
In your defense, that's true.
Royal purple. This is a good pair of Converse.
So,
where do we start? We start with...
some shtick with the droids.
That's right. Some droid shtick. It turns out that R2 has, like, droid frostbite.
Yeah, he has droid hiccups now.
Something. I don't know. I'm not sure if this is a thing that's going to keep going into I'm not sure how much of any of this is going through into the next book of Vector Prime, because it feels like a lot of this stuff gets kept when it doesn't need to be kept.
Mm.
Like when you read about
Yuuzhan Vong.
The New Jedi Order crisis that Praetorite Vong keeps happening as a term, and they're all pain sluts, even though that was, like, supposed to be specific to this one little faction of these dudes.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Any hoozlebees.
Yeah. Because of the frost, R2-D2 is just sort of, like, stopping his beepity boops to be like, beep, eep, deep, boop.
Yeah, and... for whatever reason, C-3PO is mad about it.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, you're just faking, you old bucket of bolts.
Is he? This is basically C-3PO being a house droid, isn't it?
Ah.
The worst kind of droid.
The worst.
So, anyway, yeah, he's being a real piece of shit to R2, who is clearly, like, half broken from having flown around, like, a negative... The thing, although the problem is, you get Luke with all this stuff that's like, oh, yeah, he's probably just recovering from our flight through all that super cold ice and snow. And I'm like, yeah, but don't you normally hang his fucking head out in space?
Yeah.
Like, all the time? Isn't that colder than ice and snow?
Is it?
Yes.
Is it colder than... super cold ice and snow?
I mean, technically, there was a point where the planet was colder than cold. It got to the what do they call it? The something
all right,
something.
All right.
Now, fellas, it was called like the McGillicuddy reaction or something.
Yeah. And it got 0 degrees movement.
Yeah. They went all ultra cold for a second right before the planet super popped. So maybe that's what finally busted the R2 unit.
Yeah. And... after that little bit of shtick, we get just a little bit of, like, putting the last of the whatever Praetorite Vong down
is going well.
They're like, oh, yeah, we sent some ships out, and we've got fighters and whatnot, and the bulk of their forces got blown up.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Kip Duran is an amazing pilot helping with the mop-up. He's, like, so good at this. It's almost like he put in a cheat code and waited until he had built, like, a million turrets to turn it off.
God, the fact that he says that Kip Duran is leading out a new squadron of stuff, and he's like, well, at least I can rest easy that the mop-up of the Praetorite Vong is in good hands.
Yeah, that's only
like,
his...
fuck you.
That's only Kip Duran's third squadron this book.
Yeah, third squadron against specifically this enemy.
Kip Duran sucks.
Kip Duran, bite a fart directly from my butt.
I mean, I'm glad that at least we're done with him for now, unless we pick a Kip Duran book next. Oh, that reminds me. Forgot to mention this. We're going to combine this one with the wrap-up episode, so there's questions. And at the end of the episode, stick around, because we're going to announce the next book.
Indeed. Luke also is worried about Mara, but...
Mara has decided to take a vacation, and for her, a vacation is going someplace where the Force is strong and everything's all savage and wild. She's like, maybe I'll go to Dagobah.
Well, yeah, because she's using the Force to keep the sickness at bay, I think she's like, I just need to go to some Force-heavy planet and focus my Force on my Force problems.
Yeah, yeah. Then she can, if she goes to a low planet, then she might go down with the sickness instead of going up with the Force. So that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't let that hang there. You talk.
Ooh, so yeah, the two of them, like, Mara's going to go head out to wherever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Luke is basically just like, I don't know, man. I got to go deal with the fucking Jedi Council thing.
He's got a little whining to do. He's like, there are so many directions I'm being pulled in now.
I've got to help my nephews, and I've got to niece, and I got to do a Jedi Council.
I'm a Jedi leader and a statesman and an ambassador and a general and an uncle, and I just don't have the time.
Golly gee, who's got time for all of that?
I know what I'll do. I'll get in my X-Wing. There we go.
Yeah, so Mara went off by herself to go, I don't know, suck up the Force.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I guess I'll go try and make a Jedi Council.
At least
maybe
he's taking a crack at it.
Maybe some kind of a new Jedi Order.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, at least he's taking a crack at it in the EU. In The Last Jedi and so on, at this point, he would have, you know, been like, fuck it to all this shit and moved off to Fish Nun Planet to drink green milk.
Yeah, but in canon Star Wars, he didn't have a Mara Jade.
That's true. You know, well, we don't know that for sure. He might have had a Mara Jade, and she's just died off screen, and we never saw her.
I mean, it's possible.
They never were like, and then Luke decided, no love for Luke.
I guess.
I mean, he does. Apparently, he finds some Jedi texts at some point. So early on, people, when they were talking about those movies, they were like, well, Luke doesn't know he's not allowed to get married, because what Jedi told him that?
The books.
It had to be the Jedi texts.
Yeah, well, the first time he was like, ooh, I'm going to get down and dirty with this lady. Fucking four force ghosts popped up and were like, whoa!
Whoa, Luke, no.
Back in your pants, Luke.
This one was easy for me. Luke, I have something to tell you. I'm Ace. Yeah, we all know. Everyone,
yeah, we know.
Everyone knows Obi. It's fine.
Oh, Obi. And then we'll just check in with Leia. Leia, of course, also all sad about the fact that she has to go back to being a diplomat now.
Oh, yeah. She's like, God damn it. I just, even though my kids are all accomplished superheroes, they might need me.
Yeah, sure.
Well, then why don't you just drag them with you everywhere you go like you've been doing since their infancy?
But she is going to go back to the council because even though she resigned her post there, she is now going to be the official ambassador of Dubrillion and be like, hey, you need to actually take this threat seriously.
I mean, that's kind of a sad post to get. Like, oh, you're in charge. I'm the ambassador for like 100 people who...
Yeah, but at least you get to go say, hey, I'm an official ambassador, so you can't just outright say you're not allowed to be here.
As opposed to her previous function where she could just walk wherever the fuck she wanted because she's like, fuck you, I'm basically Republic royalty, dickhead.
Yeah.
Try and stop me. My Wookiee will hang you on a closet hook.
And now, Wookiee's gone.
Yeah, who's going to do it now? A Nogri? Two Nogri standing on top of each other? I'd like to see that. Actually, I would actually like to see that.
Please do that. You, Nogri, you stand on that other Nogri.
All right, there you go. Yeah. Now rough up this senator.
I've gone mad with power.
Here, take these two, you Salamiri, and swing them around like you've got longer arms. You look ridiculous without them, and also with them.
So, yeah, she's going to go try and get the council to, you know, give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
But she spends most of her time in this just kind of going like, oh, I've got a sad husband and three children that want to go run off and be superheroes and everything's crazy. And oh, how I wish I could just stay at home.
Oh, how I long for the resolve and strength of Mara Jade.
Oh, if only. Now, let's just hope that Borsk Faelia isn't a huge dill bag. Hey, surprise, he is.
He's like a professional dill bag. That's the whole point to Borsk Faelia. He's the Mitch McConnell of the stars.
Yeah. He's just the worst.
Yeah. He's been burying all kinds of important, like, Republic law. He's just like, I did that. Yay.
I'm making sure nothing good happens.
What do you want me to do, the Empire? It's me, Mitch McConnell. This is my impression of my voice.
My impression of my own voice.
I said I was Mitch McConnell. He's doing an impression of himself.
Yeah. He's very good at it.
Mm. I'll eventually win the race.
Yogi.
I guess kind of have a boo-boo cadence to it, doesn't it?
Yes. It is a little boo-boo.
It's not boo-boo.
After Leia, we check in with Nominor, who is sad about the whole planet blowing up, but is also like, meh, we got plenty more where that came from.
Yeah, at least he doesn't be like, ah, yes, all according to plan. Everything we've done so far has been a test of their resolve.
Yeah, he at least is like, oh, there was a moment where I thought, oh, shit, maybe these guys are actually way better than we thought. And then once he finds out how they actually beat him, he's like, oh, it was just some shitty luck. Okay.
It was specifically because they were on an ice planet. We just won't make that mistake again.
Yeah, oopsie doops. They got lucky. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, well, because that was just the Praetorite Vong, and pretty soon the rest of the Yuuzhan Vong are coming, and they'll solve the problem.
Ooh, yeah. And even though I was here trying to sow dissent and keep ships away from the Outer Rim, I'm still doing it.
Yeah, he's mostly just disturbed that the Yamosk died.
Yeah, and also, I gotta say, he has the two Villips that can call either Dagara or
Yeoman
Carr.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, neither of them work, so I assume, you know, they're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, man, that just really shows the weakness of testicle calling in general, in that you have to have a different one per person you want to call.
Yes, that is definitely true, because the quantum entanglement or whatever that they used for communication means that each one of them is linked to just one person. And also, you can't be sure if Yeoman Carr is dead or if his testicle is.
Yeah.
He might just have one dead nut.
He might.
Yeah. Something came in there and busted his nuts up real good, and now he can't make phone calls anymore.
Oh, no, they really busted my nuts up.
They just went to town on my cool talk nuts.
Somebody give me a cool talk nut.
It takes forever to grow a new pair of talk nuts, and then you got to like pair them, and you have to connect their Bluetooth and everything. It takes forever.
Oh yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's what's going on. The nuts don't work, and Nominor's
mostly unconcerned.
Mostly just like, yeah, we've got plenty more where that came from, and as long as we didn't lose because they were actually good and only because they got lucky, we're still going to be able to beat the shit out of everyone.
The nuts must flow.
Yes.
We bring more and more nuts to this this region of space. We're just going to crowd it with powerful nut pears.
Ah, nut pears.
Mm-hmm.
Mmm.
Tasty nut pears.
There's some walnut and pear.
Yeah, so he is presently, it doesn't say the name of it, but he is set up on some planet that already kind of has some dislike,
anti-republic stuff.
Yeah, yeah, some anti-republic sentiment. And he's like, and now I will stir this brew, and I will foment rebellion against the republic to keep them busy until my people arrive.
Okay.
I wonder if he ever, like, fails it. Like, 'cause this whole thing is like, I'm going to land on the planet, and then I'm going to run for local office, and then I'm going to run for high office, and then I'm going to start a bunch of riots and stuff. It seems like it's very predicated on being good at winning votes.
Well, that's why he's there, is because he's very good at what he does. So,
do you think what he does is pretty?
No, I don't think what he does is very pretty at all. But he is the best there is.
Bub.
Bub.
So he's not too perturbed about the whole loss of the Praetorite Vong thing. He's just going to keep doing what he's been doing.
Yep. And that's the entire chapter. The next one is just sort of
like Han wrap up.
A sad time where Han gets to have memories of Chewbacca.
Yep. that's right. God. So it's the whole chapter is just called Eulogy, and it's just Han flies back out to Cernpedal in the Falcon with Leia just to kind of look at the planet and be like, that's where my buddy died.
Yeah. Just having a final farewell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a little bit of Leia in this, but mostly it's just Han being like, oh, I remember when Chewie used to sit in that seat, and I remember when he'd horn at me.
If I stare hard enough at that chair, I can almost make him appear, but Chewbacca's not coming back. They have a little conversation where Han's like, what are we going to tell his family? What the hell are we going to do?
Leia says that.
Oh, and Han is the one who's like, the truth. He died a hero. The end.
Yeah, he's amazing and my best friend, and I love him.
And he never even really liked them. He liked me better.
Which leads into a very weird moment of meta-realization where it's like, oh, Han had always thought of everyone that he was close to as being in a bubble that couldn't be hurt.
Yes.
And we're almost not allowed to die.
Yeah. He's like, even Mara, who at first didn't count, but then eventually did because she'd been in enough books.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, man, I always thought, I guess we're untouchable, even though we kept getting into tight scrapes and any one of us could have died a million times, but it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But this time is different. And now people can die even if they're in the bubble. You hear that, reader?
It's gotten much more serious.
We're going to kill someone.
We thought everything was fine, but then 24 died.
Poor Chewbacca.
Poor 24. Why did you buckle your seatbelt? Why did you do it?
I don't know.
You look like you have smack on your face. R.I.P. 24, you will be missed.
God, I love that shit. Okay, anyway.
But then we get some more. Leia comes in, and the two of them have their little conversation, and Han picks up a treasured item of Chewbacca's to look at, which is Han's old baseball cap.
Yeah, he's got some old hat from when the twins were born.
Old hat.
Come on.
I'm pretty sure Leia's old hat was there when the kids were born.
Pretty sure.
That's a reference from a different age.
Man, that was a while ago.
Okay, but no, he's got some old hat that says, congratulations, it's a both on it.
Yeah, because it was the end of it was worn off. It used to say it's a bothan.
Yeah, but then that part died to get us this information.
Many parts of this hat died.
Apparently, baseball caps that announce the birth of children are common in Star Wars.
I guess Star Wars canonically has gender reveal parties.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only that, but they also have hats that are specifically for if you have
twins
who are non-identical and also different sex, different genders.
Yes.
So you can get a congrats, it's a both hat. Although I suppose maybe that just also works for all the hermaphroditic species that have regular human-style heads.
That's probably where they got it from.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah. There were some species of like space worms that were like, oh yeah,
the only hats we make.
That's how we reproduce. We are both male.
That's how we reproduce. These hats.
The hats are our reproduction. Also the worms.
The bones are their money.
It's a hat thing. But so anyway, yeah, congrats, it's a both. As if Jason and Jaina for at least a brief period were like one intersex baby that then they were like, oh, no, wait, no, I guess it's twins. Okay, I'm sorry. It's a both.
It is indeed a both.
Chewbacca has apparently worn this hat so often that it's completely matted with Chewbacca fur in there.
Yeah, the lining inside of it has so much Chewy hair. And
mm-hmm.
Oh, it's never going to get any more now.
Yeah.
How sad.
Yeah, well, I guess they could, like, clone some of his fur.
I was going to say, hey, you got some of his hair there. You just
need a follicle off of that. You've got yourself an extra Chewbacca. You happen to know where there's a bunch of Sparty cloning cylinders.
I mean, come on.
Come on, get your ass to Wayland.
Chewbacca.
Chewoo.
Chewbacca.
That's what we'll call him for short. Chewoo.
Chewoo. What's this, Chewoo?
That's the baby chibi clone of Chewbacca that this book leads to.
God damn it.
They made him chibi on purpose. He'll never get bigger than like 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
And they'll call him Chewoo.
God damn it.
That's going to get fan art. That's there's no stopping that.
That's the best image that has popped into my head in a long time.
So it's a bunch of stuff about how, things are serious now. None of us are immortal, but, you know, don't worry.
Any one of us could die now.
In the next 18 books in the New Jedi Order Crisis, no one does.
I mean, two of them do?
Who are you thinking of?
Anakin and Jason?
Anakin, maybe, but Jason not in the New Jedi Order. He survives.
Oh, really? He survives?
He survives this and makes it to another series called the Dark Nest Crisis.
Huh. I thought he died in this. Oh, well.
No, this doesn't even feature Darth Cadus. By the end of this, he's still just Jason.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting weird. Don't get me wrong. He's getting real weird. Like, there's points during the course of this story where he'll, like, bond with a bunch of those amphistaves and all this other stuff because he has his animal powers and his Jedi powers all at once.
Yeah.
But he first has to get trained by a dark gray Jedi named Vergeer.
Ooh, a dark gray Jedi.
Yeah, she's dark gray. She's basically a bird version of Kreia from the old...
It's a shame he didn't find, like, an eggshell Jedi or... Even a tan Jedi.
Ecru. not only does that not get resolved until the Dark Nest Crisis and Vergeer shows up, but Vergeer's tears also cure Mara Jade of her weird poison disease.
Ah, yes.
So she'll be sick all the way through all 19 of these books as well.
Yeah, well, I would be too if I had to read them.
Yeah. I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was either.
I was kind of trying to go for a Statler and Waldorf laugh. There you go. But I started from the wrong spot. I don't know. Anyway, John, that's the end of this book.
Yeah, that's it. So we are going to just move right on into the wrap-up here.
Yeah. So I guess...
We asked you, the listeners, to ask us, the podcasters, any questions you might have had about Vector Prime, anything that was still... just getting in the back of your brain like a little worm and being like, what was going on with this?
Yeah.
So you asked your questions. We've got those questions.
In fact, you've got them because I just have the audacity pulled up.
Oh, I have the austerity.
I have the audacity to announce that I will not be answering any questions.
I have the audacity mm-hmm. of hope.
Yes. The shocking audacity of Chewbacca.
Chewbacca? I want Chewoo and Chewbacca to get together and go on a mission. Just the two failed clones of Chewbacca.
What the fuck is Chewbacca in that situation? What is that like what his name is if he's like one of those New England towns?
Yeah, it's a very British Chewbacca. And that's the name of his special, A Very British Chewbacca.
Chewbaccity, Chewbaccity, Chim Chim Cheree.
So let's just go ahead and start right at the beginning.
Yeah, you got to get this done before I start saying chewy, chewy, bang, bang.
I love you. So who is the worst character that the writer wants you to think is good despite being objectively awful always? Scott Summers or Kip Duran?
Oh, Scott Summers. That's interesting. I could have sworn this was going to be about Dash Rendar or Kip Duran.
Now, here's the thing. Everyone loves to hate on Cyclops.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like Cyclops.
I like, there are certain eras of Cyclops I like.
There are Cyclops stories that I really like.
I loved him as a pompous villain with an X on his face. I'm not going to lie. I know a lot of people thought that arc was stupid. I thought that was amazing.
I mean, there was, I want to say a while ago, like probably 15 years ago, they did a bunch of standalone miniseries for a bunch of the different X-Men. So you'd get like a Nightcrawler series and a Rogue series and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cyclops one was really good because it was just him by himself. And he's like, when you're just Cyclops, you're like, the only thing I got is I-beams and I've got to solve all my problems with I-beams. And the way he gets around certain things is amazing.
Yeah. No, I want to see him doing like some pole vaults with his eyes.
Oh, yeah. He does nonsense. And he goes all over the place. Like, he has to fight Juggernaut and Black Tom Cassidy. He gets into the Savage Land.
That's no good.
Yeah, he just gets fucked up throughout the whole thing.
I'm just thinking, the one thing about Cyclops I feel like has been missing throughout the comics over the years is a good buddy pairing for him.
Yeah, we always get, like, oh, he's got a rival, like, oh, Wolverine is out to get him, or, you know, he's got to try and make sure that he's still the leader instead of, you know, Storm or something.
But you get all these things where it's like, oh, Gambit and Bishop have to go off and do a cool adventure together, or Kitty Pryde sure does get along with Colossus, and he just has his constant yelling of his girlfriend's name.
Yeah.
There's never been, like,
I think
Cyclops.
That's a writer thing where they just define Cyclops by who he's banging.
Yeah. Because
at first it was Jean Grey, and so many writers were just defining him as Jean Grey's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then it became the White Queen,
mm-hmm.
and it was just, oh, you are defined by now banging Emma Frost, and we're angry because you are, because you used to bang Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And it's just like, come on, give him a chance.
He needs a revitalization, doesn't he? He needs a buddy comedy or like road trip kind of book where Cyclops has to hang out with, I don't know, just grab any random person out of the Marvel canon that he could.
I mean, he needs his funny person to his straight man
mm-hmm.
to really do that whole, like, I'm going to get you out of your shell. Like, if it was the Cyclops and Morph go on a mission or something.
Yeah, Cyclops and Deadpool. I'd also take Cyclops and the Black Knight.
I would
take, where the two of them are trying to out-grim each other the whole time.
I would take Cyclops and Cable for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, I have the most responsibility. Oh, no, I'm the best leader. My tactics. Oh,
we don't get along.
Fuck you, Dad.
Yeah, I feel like he really needs that to revitalize him. Kip Duran, I only know of...
Kip Duran caused a sun to explode and kill, you know, trillions of people, probably, so fuck him.
He's always like, oh, it's not my fault. I was under the influence of a Sith ghost lord. Whatever. You pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
Go sit quietly for the rest of eternity.
I mean, even if they were like, all right, we're not going to put you in jail forever, you'd think they'd be like, but we're also going to put you under, like, Republic surveillance at all times and never allow you to get any weapons?
Yeah, just how about oh, you blew up Karita and so many people. You know what? We aren't going to let you have as many X-Wings as you want. we're turning off the unlimited soup, salad, and X-Wings.
It's you got to go home. There's a limit.
It's as much as you could reasonably crash. No, I'm saying...
I do like that this question about Star Wars just turned into a very big rant about X-Men, though.
Ultimately, because Cyclops is a much more compelling character than Kip Duran.
Yeah, well, with more history as well.
Yes, but anyway, in terms of which one of them's worse, it's Kip Duran.
Yeah, it's Kip Duran all the way forever.
Yeah, besides, who created Cyclops? It's like Stan Lee, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Use one of the original five.
Now, as opposed to who created Kip Duran? Oh, Kevin J. Anderson.
Ooh, what a pedigree.
Great.
So, Vector Prime, do you think having a big extragalactic threat to shake up the EU status quo was the right move, even if the Vong weren't the best choice, or do you think it just added to the bloat?
I don't, you know, extragalactic's actually a good thing because it means that it's not being dragged out of some previous story and polished up. It's a whole new thing, and I actually kind of like that. I like that Star Wars is being invaded by a force that's going to cause some weird alliances to occur that we may have not seen previously.
And I also kind of like an extragalactic force simply because the Star Wars galaxy is mapped for basically the most part.
Yeah,
which
they got a
means,
whole section they call the unknown regions, but everyone knows what's in it.
Yeah, I mean, for most of the, ooh, this is the threat, it was maybe at best one or two planets that are like, oh, they got their shit together and now they're a threat. But with an extragalactic source, you're like, oh, no, this is an actual full-on unified, like, galactic empire that's coming over.
And how great is it that these guys aren't ultimately being pulled by some Imperial remnant guy?
Yeah.
How many times has that happened in the books we've read?
That is the other thing, is if you wanted to shake up the status quo, having it be like, and now Medium Moff Dildron is here,
exactly,
and he wants to take back the Empire.
How many of these books have we read at this point where it's like, oh, it turns out that Hethrir is actually the Emperor's Procurator of Justice, or it turns out that that's the same dude that, what's his face, that's been here on this stupid crystal planet for forever, and he used to be an Imperial Senator.
Yeah, oh, and this guy, he was the Emperor's Postmates dude, and he's here to bring all of it back.
Oh, Warlord Zinj is a warlord of the Empire. Sure. I mean, it's been that over and over again, so this is kind of a cool shakeup.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I mean, the big problem with the Vong is the pain slut thing, which would have been great if it was just Yeoman Carr and he was a weird murder freak.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, no, the rest of them have the whole, like, all right, you know, you can have your Klingon honor, dying in battle is the best thing, whatever, and have that. But without all of them being like, oh, yes, pain.
Delicious agony, oh my.
Oh, I can feel it boring into my very pores, and I love it.
The problem is, it's got to be, I'm hoping it's just the Praetorite Vong, right? But if it's just Yeoman Carr, that makes no sense either. Because if you're like, all right, we need to send someone on a long-term, years-long infiltration mission, who can I pick? I could pick this Metal Gear Solid type dude. I could pick this Lara Croft type dude. You know what? Voldo, you're free. you get in there and infiltrate. Pretend to be a scientist. Chop, chop. I protect the money pit.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's just really good at hiding how much he loves pain, though.
I have some friends like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
Let's see. You've been given the job of introducing the Vong as the major bad guys of the next Star Wars trilogy. Ignoring that we don't know how the current trilogy ends, what changes do you make to the Vong to improve them?
Oh, okay, so we're saying it's not the next movie, it's the next, like, it can't
like,
be,
yeah, Star Wars Episode
Rise
11
of Skywalker
or
doesn't have, so we're just 10. Going to 10, yeah. So it's Episode 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be tricky, seeing as though we don't know who's going to be walking out alive at the other end of that, so it's really just all about the Vong, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's how do we introduce the Vong is the big thing. So I think I would keep the weird organic tech angle, like that's a neat angle to have, and it lets you do, you know, some very interesting set piece things as far as like being inside of the spaceships or having things that look very striking for like, oh yeah, this has a bunch of like weird goop pools and dangle bits and like there's just a few dick levers hanging out here and Geiger just went to town on this ship.
Now I know eventually the Yuuzhan Vong start to introduce some new types of Vong that we're gonna see, like, and not only that but also like other races that have been assimilated into their culture over the millennia. I feel like that stuff needs to be prominent early on because otherwise all the foes kind of look the same. Like, it's a big muscle dude with a bunch of broken bones and shit, and he looks all ridiculous. And also, here's another one who is also in charge.
Yeah, well, it's going to be like any of those times where you have, like, oh, here is the bad guys. They are orcs. All right.
Yeah.
How do we make sure we know which orc is the right one? We give him something that looks different that none of the others have.
Yeah. So in the case of like the end of Lord of the Rings, it was that big pink one with the busted up arm.
Yeah. Or you go, all right, he's got a white hand on his face.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Now I know which one is the big one.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, you need some differentiation between them to make them not just all kind of ultra warrior pain sluts running around with snake sticks. Also, I might change amphistaffs because...
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some things. I'm going to get rid of the testicle collars. I'm going to... Well, not collars, but...
I mean, also the testicle
also
collars.
Also the testicle collars. Didn't really get into it.
It didn't show up when we were talking. They wear those, like, leis. They welcome... That's when new Vong ships would arrive. They'd be like, and here's your wreath of testicles.
Aloha, testicle.
The best thing is that aloha also means goodbye in Yuuzhan Vong.
Goodbye, testicles. Yeah, so I think if you were really going to do a Yuuzhan Vong thing, you'd probably want to make it, if it's a trilogy, barely introduced in the first one. Like, mm-hmm. Have hints and then sort of, you know, go the Nominor route.
Yeah.
Where the first thing is like, oh, we've got to stop this rebellion thing from happening.
There's some weird warlord down there that needs to be defeated, and it turns out that he's got some ultra sinister agenda that goes beyond his one little warlord job he was doing at the time.
Yeah, and so the end of the movie you find out, like, oh yeah, he was just making sure that your forces were down here while the real threat came in from wherever.
I'd also probably have them take over planets we've heard of instead of start introducing new planets, so we could accelerate the threat pace a little bit. If you're like, instead of...
And they took over Tatooine.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. Tatooine would be a perfect planet to do that to. Also, Hoth would be... it's a frozen planet. They could just use it instead of...
Oh, yeah, they could use that instead of Belkadan.
Or instead of Helskafor, the ice planet that they were on. And just be like, it's a bigger threat because you've heard of this planet. Even if Hoth was useless and just had wampas on it, like, at least you heard of it.
Yeah. So...
Don't be afraid to bust up Hoth. Just get in there and bust it up.
Just get in there and really bust Hoth up. Yeah, I think that would be the best way to go about it. So you have an introductory surprise ending of it's actually a galactic threat. The middle one is, oh, fuck, we're losing the war. And then the last one can be the, yay, we're winning the war.
Yeah, yeah. I think that'd be a better way to do it. The Vong would probably need a cast of people who look a little more normal so you could actually have, like, a compelling villain, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah. Anyway.
Eh. Let's see. So... we can all agree that Leia wanted to bang Mara Jade, right?
I mean, yes, that was very obvious, yeah, right in the middle of this book. But then again, who doesn't?
I mean, I guess...
Mara Jade's in her 50s even at this point in this book, and she's got it going on.
Yeah.
She's basically like your Tilda Swinton of space. She's rad as hell. Like, but with red hair, you know?
You know.
Like the Carrie Russell of space, except the Carrie Russell's in that new Star Wars movie.
So... Did they manage to make Chewie's death meaningful and significant, or do you think it shook out the way it was conceived? A cynical concept pulled from a big list of characters that they felt they could kill off to shock people.
I mean, literally. I mean, if you know the story behind it, it was supposed to be Han that got killed on Cern Padal, and Lucas was like, no.
You are not allowed to kill the big three. Sorry.
Yeah. The closest
you can get is Chewie.
Yeah.
Maybe R2.
Yeah. And so it really was a cynical cash grab. I'm not a huge fan of the way that Chewbacca dies in this because there's no Vong there. They just send out a thing and it just kills him.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not as dramatic as you'd want.
No, it's, they try and give him a heroic moment on the moon for like saving a couple people. Mm-hmm. But ultimately it's like if Chewbacca died by like walking into a room that was rigged to explode.
Yeah. Or like if... During all the run-and-gun scenes in the Star Wars movies, he just got shot by some stormtrooper and went down.
Yeah, it's...
You're just like, oh.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's not... It needed to be more personal. If they want... They needed to make it a personal death. Like, Nominor should have got him or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's my only real complaint. And then he should have said, got him! Got him! But, I mean, that's it. That's really... Otherwise, it's fine. It just needed to be more personal, and yeah, the fact that it was Chewbacca was actually a politics thing, that's a problem.
So, as the first book in the New Jedi Order series, Vector Prime marked a shift away from the previous haphazard development and into a more coordinated canon.
That is true.
Having now read at least one book from either side of the divide, plus the book at the dividing line, which side of that line do you think is more interesting?
It's actually, it's interesting because from this point going forward, all the book lines are these multi-author, because like I was saying, this is the New Jedi Order. After that is the Dark Nest Crisis, and then there's like the Black Fleet Crisis, and all of these are things that are like, oh, a bunch of authors working, and there's like six books.
Yeah.
So it really is a tectonic shift in the way that they write these things. And frankly, this might just be my childhood talking when I was reading these old EU books, but I prefer the old style where each book had a wacky new villain, because you got more interesting stuff.
I mean, yes, but you also got a lot of dumb crap, because with every author just allowed to do whatever dumb nonsense they wanted to do, but being incapable of changing the status quo as well, it was just, what did you do? Oh, I introduced something majorly ridiculous to the world, and then everyone has to ignore that it's this big of a deal.
I invented yellow healing Jedi. Also, I made Han fight his identical evil cousin.
Anyway, this will never be mentioned again. And you're like, what the, what?
But I actually, I mean, I like that kind of stuff in the standalones. I mean, they never really did go standalone. These books are always building on each other. Some of them tend to exist more in their own little vacuums. Like Crystal Star was definitely, they barely mentioned anything from any of the other books.
Yeah.
And Zaveri is never going to show up again.
No.
Zaveri is an example of a character that's a one-off dump.
Yes. Speaking of a one-off dump, I gotta go.
We'll be back in five.
Ding, 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 ding.
Let's go out to the lobby and take ourselves a shit.
All right. If all ships followed the Jade Saber pattern of naming it after its owner, what would you rename Luke's X-Wing and the Millennium Falcon to?
That's a...
Well, obviously the Millennium Falcon becomes the hand job.
Yeah, that's an easy one. And then the X-Wing becomes the ukulele.
Nice. Nice. Hey,
thank you. So,
I was going to go like, oh, what? So it's the Spacewalker now?
I guess that's also fair. It could be the Skywalker Texas Ranger.
There you go.
But no, the ukulele.
Let's see.
The Lukica expression. I'm from Albany.
From each Star Wars movie trilogy, which one character smoked the most space weed? Three characters total.
Oh, shit. I can do this for way longer.
Qui-Gon?
Yeah, I mean, three characters total is weak.
It's which from each trilogy?
I want to do which from each from movie. First of all, if it's trilogy, then it's Elan Sleaze Boggiano.
No.
The only known space weed smoker.
He didn't smoke space weed. He smoked death sticks. That's like saying the person who smoked cigarettes smoked the most weed.
You don't know what death sticks have in them.
They're cigarettes.
They're weederettes.
Ah, the weederettes.
Okay, fine. Per trilogy, are we saying? I mean, Qui-Gon dies in the first one.
Who's the person who smoked the most?
He's missing
over
valuable
his long
weeds.
Jedi career. Oh, he slonked that gang weed.
I mean, if we're picking random people who have smoked a bunch of weed in the trilogy era, then I might want to go with like a Yaddle or something. but sure, Qui-Gon, fine, whatever.
I mean, you can say something else for the prequels.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to do it one by one in the prequels. It's Qui-Gon in the first one, you're absolutely right about that. It's Elan Sleaze Boggiano in the second one, there's no getting around it. And in the third one, I'm going to go with Dexter Jetster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
He's out back.
Just
toking
away.
Just slonking it.
Just getting nuts.
A Ridge Tridge.
Okay, first movie, Danik Jericho. I mean, obviously. That's just what he's doing. He's just sitting there smoking up that weed. Second movie, Dengar, probably? I mean, right?
Dengar.
He kind of has that look about him.
I'm going to say Veers was...
You think like it's an anxiety thing?
Oh, yeah. He was like, oh, I'm not doing it to get high. This is for my glaucoma.
It could also be Lando. I mean, because that's just where he's introduced, and you know he's keeping mellow. Or maybe Lobot to handle like the interface pain concerns that he develops as a result. It could be for good purposes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I'm still gonna stick to Veers, but you can go ahead and have that.
Okay, fair enough. Return of the Jedi. It's gonna be someone in Jabba's palace. I mean, there's just no getting around that.
Yeah, I mean, Jabba himself does get that ganja.
He does do that. That's true. I might give this one to Yarna Dalgargan.
I wouldn't.
You don't want to. You don't think she smokes a bunch of weed?
No, I think she's a true artist and doesn't sully her temple.
Just dances.
Just dances for the love of it.
Just here to dance.
Yeah. People are like, hey, you want to have some of this space weed? And she's like, no, I'm here for the art.
Okay, you know what? I'm actually going to change my answer on this one anyway. I'm going to go with, what's his name? Max Rebo.
The Rebo?
Max Rebo, the blue elephant.
Yeah.
That dude tokes like nobody's business. He's like mostly toke. Like he's inflated with weed smoke at the moment.
Currently.
When you see him, he absolutely is. Okay, and then for the last two movies, I don't know, obviously Maz Kanata in the first one. I mean, she literally has little tiny squint eyes. There's no way. It's not her. It's definitely Maz Kanata. And in the second one, it's got to be that little fat goblin who gets a bunch of coins.
Hey, that's not fair. How dare you talk about me like that?
You're a big fat goblin.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's a difference. This is like a little John in the movie.
It's little John, and he wants tolls to get across the bridge.
You remember that scene? There's like a little goblin who's like excited because R2-D2 fires a bunch of coins. Or no, it's BB-8 fires a bunch of coins out of himself like a cannon. Yeah. Herself. I think BB-8 is canonically female.
I don't know anything.
Bunch of coins out of herself like a cannon. And this little goblin's like, yeah, coins. Fuck yes.
Yeah. And that was Warwick Davis.
Was it? Was it Warwick Davis playing? Oh, that's right. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's been in like all of them.
Yeah. They were just all like, right. Hey, you want to be a weird little goblin? And he's like, obviously.
Okay. I see no reason to stop here, John. The holiday special. Definitely Princess Leia.
Definitely.
I mean, she is fucking high off her tits in that thing.
I mean.
There's no getting around it.
I would honestly say probably Luke is more.
Mm-hmm. That's true. He
is on weed.
But specifically on painkillers. Luke's on painkillers in that because he was just in a car accident. Leia's on coke.
Yeah.
No one's really smoking a lot of weed.
But
there.
I'm going to say, personality-wise, it was Luke.
It was Luke. That's fair. The first of the two Ewoks movies, it's the Prophet Logray. Second of the two Ewok movies, definitely Noah.
Definitely.
Noah just toking down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm out of movies now, so I'm going to stop.
Great. Good.
Yeah. Good and great. That's all the weed smokers.
All right, let's see. How do you think the plot would change if Shizor was the big bad Vong leader instead of Dagara? I mean, obviously, there would be way more things about how much the Vong are better and more reptilian.
I mean, to be fair, he definitely kind of follows the same playbook from the beginning. Because Dagara shows up at first, and he's like, yes, that one. She is worthy for some reason that definitely is a 34C.
Yeah, it's very similar. Dagara doesn't get as much screen time.
Yeah.
But he's pretty much on the, our species is better than yours,
mm-hmm.
and also this one hot lady is definitely worthy of my time because
I'm going to keep her as a pet for some two reasons I can't quite put a name on.
For these two reasons I can't quite get my hands on.
These two bouncing reasons that she is definitely worthy. So yeah, the two of them actually are already kind of similar. You just get a lot more bragging.
Yeah,
and
I guess.
The thing is, you've already got a lot of bragging from the Yuuzhan Vong.
See, the one nice thing though is you'd get a lot of Vong delicacies at least.
Oh, that's true. You'd be hearing all the time about how they eat like gak or whatever.
Yeah, they eat gak.
You know they fucking eat worms and shit. There's no way they don't.
Oh yeah, and their bones are their money,
and their food is some worms.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Yeah, it's a loosey goosey episode. It's okay. We'll be back to full form in a little while.
Okay. Do you think there's a sensible way to have Star Wars villains with anti-force abilities like the Vong, or is the concept inherently bad? I mean, I'm not against an anti-force ability. Like, the Ys Salamiri, I kind of don't like the concept of just like, what is this? Oh, it's a bubble of anti-force in a lizard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of meh.
I mean, the bubble of anti-force concept I found kind of interesting, but it creates questions that they never really get around to answering. Like, they always say that the only reason that Jedi can wield lightsabers at all is because they're too complicated for non-Jedi to pick up and wield. Like,
oh,
they,
yeah,
they
like
themselves.
You cut your arm off if
yeah.
you tried to.
But then they get into these bubbles of Ys Salamiri energy, and they're like, whatever, I can still use my lightsaber. And you're like, no, you're not a Jedi in there.
Yeah, but they've been trained to use it for so long that now it's muscle memory.
Uh-huh, sure.
But the training to use the lightsaber properly, why, if you tried and you weren't a Jedi, you'd just cut your foot off.
You think you could just do it
you're
with
gonna poke
like,
your eye out,
you could
kid?
Just do it with a stick that has some green paint on most of it. I mean,
yeah, but that doesn't have the same balance.
Ah, you're right. It's a different balance.
Yeah.
You could also do it with a
lightsaber
that doesn't have any cutting power, just like a stun one.
I was going to say what you could do is a lightsaber that isn't turned on because it's not like the plasma is really affecting how much it weighs.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Are there danglehams in Wookiee heaven?
I mean, we see Wookiee heaven at the end of the holiday special. It's mostly Wookiees.
Mostly tree.
In big red robes near a Christmas tree, and there's a really blissed out Leia.
I mean, I don't know what's higher up in that tree. There may be danglehams up there. I can't say for sure. That's one of the great theological debates of Wookiee culture.
I mean, that's as close to Wookiee heaven as we ever actually get to see, is that one shot of people hanging around at the base of some Christmas tree. Obviously, Wookiees live way up in trees, and therefore heaven must be up from there. That was like we saw the outside of the pearly gates.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Leia was the Joseph. Is that
no.
Who? No, St. Peter. Peter's at the pearly gates.
Yes.
Also Joseph at the pearly gates.
Also Joseph's up there. Just, which one?
I don't know. Whichever one's most friendly with Peter. Because he's just chilling. He's out there to smoke and I guess talk to Peter.
Yeah. He's just out there like, hey, did you have fun walking around with my kid? I mean, he wasn't really my kid, but
you decided which Joseph, huh?
Yeah. I decided it would be funnier if he was out there doing stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. What TNG episode would you recast with Star Wars characters and how would you do it? Bonus points if it's the one where Joe Piscopo is declared the greatest comedian ever or the one where Dr. Crusher fucks a ghost.
We've got some serious season one beef going on right now.
Well, I mean, if you're going to have beef,
it's a good season to pick beef with.
Yeah.
Let's see. I might go with the season 7 episode where. It's all about, like, I think it's called Lower Decks, and it's the whole episode just follows, like, four people that you've never seen before.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, you've seen Nurse Ogawa a lot, but one of the other ones was in that episode where where Wesley gets in, like, a crash at the academy and gets in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically just these four, like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I work in some engine nacelle, and I'm up for a promotion, and you're never going to see me again. I would love it if those characters were just flatly replaced with Star Wars characters that
that also you'd never see again.
Yeah, and then the TNG people just flatly ignore them or just talk down to them.
Yeah.
It'd just be like Luke, like, oh, boy, I sure hope I get a promotion and that Riker notices me.
I would go with the de-evolution episode.
I would be like,
ooh, let me see, like, primal Chewbacca. Instead of it being Worf, it would be Chewbacca in that. And I'd be like, all right, what did Chewie evolve from?
I think my favorite thing in that episode is the part where Spot's just a fucking iguana.
Yeah.
They just put an iguana on the ground.
They're like, really? That's what cats evolve from, iguanas, huh?
Well,
that's what we're going with?
None of it makes any fucking sense. There's the part where Picard asks Data what he's going to turn into. And Data's like, according to my records, Captain, a pygmy marmoset. You're like, no, he's not.
And why is Barclay turning into a spider? What is happening?
That means he had to go so far back along the evolutionary tree.
Yeah, it's real weird.
It's a very crazy.
And I would love to see that, but just everyone is. And so instead of Data, you've got C-3PO, and he's just like sassily working his way around trying to fix what's going on.
Oh, your introns are broken. I don't have any.
Mm.
Yes. Oh, I think you're going to make a lovely leopard, Leia.
All right. Is it just me, or was this a better book than most of the previous ones you read? Do you think it's the fact that we spent so little time on the main characters?
Let's see. This book was good. I would say I would probably want to give about 50% of that credit right off the bat to R.A. Salvatore being an actually good author.
There is that.
And he knew how to kind of keep the story going instead of bunching all the story up at the end and starting it with 10 chapters of bullshit.
Yeah, it's not so much that it didn't focus on the main characters as much as it is things happened instead of only in the last four chapters throughout the book.
And also, this one still has, I think there were two episodes that were basically the same shit when we were reviewing it. It was like, Yeoman Carr stalks and kills some scientists. Meanwhile, all of the main characters are having a fun party at Lando's house. I think there were four chapters in a row of that. But even then, it's still better than the other ones. I would say the only book that really runs a competition to this one was the zombie one, because that one was just completely nonsense.
Yeah, it was just top to bottom ridiculous bullshit.
Yeah, which is, I think, what we look for in a good Star Wars novel.
Let's see. Wow, we got a lot of Star Trek things in here. How would the Federation deal with the Vong? How many times would each series' captain try to open hailing frequencies? Well, you couldn't open hailing frequencies. They don't do that. They'd be like, sorry, you got to get on testicle phone.
I am Locutus of Vong. Please whip my nuts.
Please. Whip my nuts.
Whip my nuts.
You're going to love my nuts.
Honey, would you slap my dick?
Yeah. For a dollar?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it would come down to Guinan being like, oh, my people encountered the Vong a long time ago,
oh,
Captain.
Oh, yes. The first scouts of the Vong were encountered by my people, and we found out that their true weakness is they love getting their nuts slapped.
Captain, I detect sadism. Yes, thank you, Deanna.
Thank you, Troy. Now put on a regulation uniform.
Hey, she does by the end of the show.
Yeah, she does eventually put on a regulation uniform.
And then she turns her other weird uniform, the proto uniform she was wearing all the time, into her like nightgown.
Yeah. Hey, don't let anything go to waste.
Yeah, yeah. They've already made the outfit. It already form fits her.
Yeah.
You do what you need to, Marina Sirtis. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I guess because the thing is, they're more organized than the Republic is. Like, they're a better military overall.
Oh, yeah.
But they're a worse military because their weapons aren't as cool.
I mean, kind of. But I feel like if the Vong show up, you're basically looking at, like, the fucking Founders War again.
Oh, yeah, either the Founders War or during Enterprise, there was that thing where they got invaded by, like,
bug folk.
From fluidic space.
I was going to say, it's actually a coalition of different weird animals.
Oh, no, that's
ones.
The Zindi. The Zindi and the bug folk are two different things.
Yes.
I was thinking of the fluidic space Tyranid Zergs, where you're like, how do we solve this problem? I don't know. We need to find a way to lock them to their own galaxy. They're done. Figured it out. Yeah. We used a polar on a mission.
But the fact that it's something from another galaxy that's got weird tech that we don't know about, whatever, I'm like, that's just straight up the Founders.
Yeah.
So at that point, you'd go like, oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, the one who would try to open hailing frequencies the most is Janeway.
Yeah. And if it was just the Founders, then what do you do? I guess you
wait. Oh, Sisko would, like, maybe try opening hailing frequencies one, and then be like, yeah, no, I've already done this.
We're going to wait for you to get a species-wide disease. That'll solve the problem.
I'm going to put someone on the task of murdering all of you. Thanks. I'm going to have Bashir get part of your weird organo-tech, and we're going to do some dumb shit with it.
There you go. And I guess a lot of you are going to line up to fight Worf because you've heard that they have a warrior culture.
Yeah. I assume that there's going to be some dumb bullshit with the Klingons and the Vong.
You know how many episodes there are where, like, various Jem'Hadar guys are like, you, Klingon, I have heard of the prowess of your people. Let's fucking go. I'll bash your head in.
Swear on me, Mom.
Swear on my cloning tank.
Yeah. I feel like you'd get a lot of stuff that shakes out very close to the DS9 storyline.
Yeah.
But also, if we're doing all the captains from every series, then depending on who is currently the captain of the Discovery.
See, I haven't watched any Discovery, so I don't know if I can help you here or not.
Well, their whole drive is basically based on spores, so they're already Organitech.
Oh, okay.
So fucking the main engineer guy that's like
is delightful.
The lead scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he would be like, fuck yes, this is my goddamn dream.
Yeah, that's the show I know the least about. And I've only watched like the first and last episodes. I watched the whole of Enterprise. I watched the first episode, the Zindi arc, because I heard it was good. And then the last episode, because I'd heard that like Marina Sirtis and Frakes show up.
Yeah. Great.
There you go. There's my story.
Yeah, of Discovery, I have watched both seasons that are out.
Okay.
And I'll watch the third one, because fuck you, I like it.
I mean, not you.
I'm saying
okay,
fuck
good.
You, the listener.
I watched some of Enterprise and all of Voyager.
Ustedes, okay? let's go ahead and do one last question. I think we're doing good.
Yeah.
So,
especially because we still have a big announcement to make.
Finally, the last question here. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm excited, John.
Are you excited?
I'm excited because I have a, well, there's actually two announcements to make today. I have been scouring the book waves far and wide.
Oh, the book waves.
The book waves for another really, really good Star Wars book. Because up until this very day, I have been trying my best to pick each Star Wars book so that's a little different than the last one, but it might have some similarities that and that there's
things that we can talk about and flow through.
Exactly. I want good flow. I want good. And I've been putting myself through a lot to get to that. And this time for season 7, my big decision has been that I can't do it anymore.
And then I get to pick the book and fuck you.
And so I've decided to place the honor of the book in your hands. And, John, what Star Wars novel do you think we should read?
Well, I've decided to pick Star Trek The Next Generation Meets X-Men Planet X. Fuck you guys. We're not reading Star Wars because I get to pick. It's my time to shine.
So I guess that's going to happen finally.
It's real fortuitous that we had this many Next Gen and Star Trek questions.
And X-Men questions, too.
Yeah. Look at that. It all flows together.
It all came together. So I guess we're going to read Star Trek. It's the literal title of this book is Star Trek The Next Generation, X-Men, Planet X.
Yes.
I'll go ahead and give you a little taste of the back of this monster. Here we go. On the planet Zhaldia, ordinary men and women are mutating into bizarre creatures with extraordinary powers. But is this a momentous evolutionary leap or an unparalleled catastrophe? The very fabric of Zhaldian society is threatened as fear and prejudice divide and transform from their own kin. Dispatched to cope with the growing crisis, Captain Picard and the crew of the Starship Enterprise trademark receive some unexpected visitors from another reality in the form of a group of mutant heroes known as the Uncanny X-Men. Storm, leader of the team, offers her help in resolving a situation that is agonizingly similar to the human-mutant conflicts of their own time and space. But when hostile aliens appear in orbit around Zhaldia to try and abduct the Transformed for use as superpowered weapons in an attack on the Federation, even the combined forces of the crew of Starfleet and the X-Men may be unable to prevent an inferno of death and destruction.
Yeah, the one sad thing is I think Cyclops isn't in this book.
No, it's Storm's leading the team, and it's going to be it's like X-Men Blue.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cyclops and Jean Grey are both not in this, but you get probably, I'm going to say, like, Gambit and Rogue?
I'm going to say based on the cover,
You get Wolverine for sure.
We see Wolverine, Professor X, and Storm on the cover. I'm pretty sure we're going to see Beast, because
you have to map everyone to someone else.
Yeah, so
you have to have a science person to go around with Data.
Yeah.
You've got to have a warrior to go around with,
Heck, Worf. It might be that Beast is only in the other one where they meet like the classic Star Trek, so they can do the joke, Doctor, and they both
McCoy.
Turn around. McCoy, and they both thank you. That's it, and they both turn around. But I think Nightcrawler is going to be in here as well.
Oh yeah, Nightcrawler should be in there.
Yeah. So that's an exciting time.
Yeah.
There's one last thing. Starfleet's finest crew and Earth's greatest mutant heroes will need all of their powers and abilities to save the Zhaldian people and stop a deadly threat to the Federation.
Yay.
And I was only able to find the large print version of this.
The large print grandparent version of this book.
There are 34 chapters, so we'll figure out how we're going to divide that up later.
Yeah.
There's an epilogue, too.
Ooh.
So, I don't know. I think this is probably going to be a one-off diversion from the usual thing. But as long as we're taking one diversion away from our usual canon that we stick to, might as well make it two canons.
Yeah. If we're going to only take one diversion, we may as well just jump both feet into some dumb nonsense.
So, look for that starting next week as we take on Star Trek The Next Generation, X-Men, Planet X.
I don't think you understand how excited I am for this.
I mean, we've been teasing this for 6 seasons now.
Oh, yeah.
It's time
for the payoff,
this
baby.
This has been in the works. 6 seasons and one about Star Trek in a movie. All right, there you have it.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us on our little epilogue wrap-up here.
Oh, actually, John, this leads to me to have a question for you.
Oh, how you doing?
How you doing?
Fuck you, I asked first.
Damn it. No, my actual question is, how are we going to do bonus content for the next season?
So I'm going to go ahead and say, since right now our bonus content, patreon.com/systemmastery,
mm-hmm.
is pretty much relegated to only Wikipedia and Star Wars things,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to allow the pulling from either the Star Trek wiki X-Men wiki.
We can go to Memory Alpha.
Yeah, you could go to Memory Alpha, or you could go to the X-Men wiki.
I assume it's called the Cerebro or something.
No, it's just fandom.xmen or some shit.
Oh, that's
that
a bummer.
That or the Marvel database.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So we're allowed to dig into the Marvel or Star Trek databases for next season.
Now, I am going to say I want you to try and limit what you look up to either be Next Gen associated or X-Men associated.
Oh, I mean, that's obvious. It's not like I'm going to show up and be like, well, I've got a thing to talk about the Fantastic Four. I have a whole article on Tremaine, the Q of his day. Well, there you have it. That's how we're going to do things. And like John was saying, head on down to patreon.com/systemmastery, because even if we're changing the format a little, we are definitely going to keep making the bonus content, which you can unlock at the $2 level on our Patreon.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. We're going to get some of the dumbest crap ever now, and I can't wait.
It's going to be a fun diversion. I might be 17 episodes of this, because there's 34 chapters in here, but it's a short book, so it may be three chapters. I don't know. I have no idea.
We are
entering uncharted territory. We are seeking out new life and new civilizations.
We are going to boldly go right up our own asses with this.
We'll be the best there is at whatever the fuck this is.
And what this isn't pretty.
We'll need a new sign-off, too, because Elan Sleazebagiano is not going to cut it.
Yeah, but you know who will? Wolverine.
Wolverine cuts it.
Wolverine's going to cut it. The cheese, that is.
Also the Blob.
He's not going to cut the Blob.
The Blob is uncuttable. I think that's his catchphrase.
You can't cut me. I'm the uncuttable Blob.
Well, look forward to a couple episodes of that. Thank you so much for listening. And have a wonderful week. I've been Elan Sleazebagiano.
And I'm the best there is at smoking death sticks.